I'm Steve McLeod, and you are listening to The Community Lounge, the podcast where community managers from the video games industry tell their story, talk about the challenges they face, and share tips to help other community managers do their job better.
Today, I'm joined by Henry Bazir, currently working as social media editor and content creator at ART, the French-German TV channel, a TV channel that I discovered while researching this episode also has a video games division. Welcome to the show, Henry.
Hello, Steve. Thank you so much.
Before continuing, tell us how your name is really pronounced.
You can say Henry because, okay, I'm French, but everybody writes my name with a Y. I stand of an I. So, well, I'm comfortable with having, you know, some British ascendants. And so for the family name, well, it's Bazir.
Bazir.
If you wanted to use the French way.
So part of living abroad, I've lived most of my adult life in non-English speaking countries, and I'm a native English speaker. Part of living abroad is just getting used to the fact that people can't say your name properly. A German partner I had for a while, her mother always would have to whisper to her daughter, can you just tell me how to say his name again before she would call me? Okay, so this is a podcast for community managers, about community management. But when I introduced you, your role was social media editor and content creator. What's going on there? Why does it not say content? Why does it not say community manager in your title?
Oopsie, busted. In fact, community management is part of my missions because at Artis, my official title is, social media editor. And I'm also a content creator on my free time, you know. But within Artis, I have several roles, several missions, and community management is, I would say, 80% part of it.
Okay, that makes sense. 80%.
Yeah. Every day it's about how can I talk about this game in a funny, original way, and it's 80% of my time to think about what can I show in this game that is not too spoilery, that is interesting, that is understandable by someone who doesn't play the game, who doesn't have the game in their hands. I have many games that I'm working on at Artist. and plus I'm only 3 days a week at Artist. So again, the days are, very busy days.
Where are you sharing this content that you create, where you're trying to get people into the game without spoiling? Where are you sharing this content?
Mainly on X and Blue Sky. We've created the special RT video games Blue Sky account because, as you said in the introduction, RT is a TV channel. And so in order to, we have some special places to talk exclusively about video games. So it's the RT Interactive accounts on X and Blue Sky. We were only on X when I arrived at Artis, which was in September 2024. About two or three months after my arrival, we have created the Blue Sky account.
How's that going for you? I think a lot of us have found that Twitter or X is really not the place it was, and it's hard to get traction. And Blue Sky hasn't turned out to be a good replacement for Twitter or X yet. Well, how are you finding it?
Well, I wouldn't say that Blue Sky is a replacement because, as you said, even if Blue Sky is, how can I say that? I would say chiller than X, regarding some violent content, so violent opinions you can read on every subject. And as a gay man, I'm kind of sensitive about what's going on X, and maybe I'm more comfortable on Blue Sky. But I think that this is kind of the key point. You are talking to different audiences. Some are staying on X, and I'm not saying that everyone on X are pro Musk, pro Trump, fascist, etc. Really, I'm not on that extreme point of views, but I think that the audiences of X and Blue Sky can mix somehow, but they are also very different in some of the views. And I could see that when I saw the reactions on some of the games I've been talking about through Arte's interactive accounts, and some reactions were very different between X and Blue Sky.
Can you give me an example of what the interaction, the reaction might be on Blue Sky?
Yeah. Well, I would say the most striking games about this would be Wednesdays, which is in a few words is narrative games about healing and recovering after child sexual abuse and especially incest. So very sensitive subject, very difficult to talk about, especially when you are a victim of incest. And something that surprised me, but in a good way, is that on Blue Sky, people were much more enthusiastic to see a video game talking about such a sensitive subject, such a subject that, well, we don't really heard of regarding whether it is in the gaming industry, but also in general, because it's a very taboo subject. Especially in France, you have some frightening numbers about the subject. But on Twitter, I have the feeling that the audience were, I would not say insensitive, but less interested by it compared to Blue Sky, where we have much more likes, reposts, testimonies about, this is great to have such a game on this subject, etc., etc.
Wow, I'm kind of blown away with the whole topic there. I had no idea of this game. No, the topic is really astounding to hear, and the differences and reactions. We've kind of gone away from where we were planning to talk with this conversation, but you really got my attention already. Let's go back to your background. So why and how did you become a community manager? Before you answer that, I just need to say that I put out a call on LinkedIn a week or two ago asking for people who were very new at community management to come on the show, for especially people who haven't had the chance to talk about it publicly before. And Henry, you're one of the people who answered to that. So mm-hmm. you are new at community management. You started mm-hmm. in September last year, you just said.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
So given that, tell us the story of how you became a community manager.
I hope you have, 2 or 3 hours. just joking. Well, in fact, I have I would say an unusual way to become a community manager, because originally I have a scientific background. I have a master's degree in cellular and molecular biology, because I've done 80-90% of my studies at Sorbonne University in Paris. And I was the scientist cliche you can think about. I was in a laboratory with petri boxes. I was managing with bacteria, microorganisms, cells, of course. And it was kind of complicated, because I always wanted to work within the video game industry, even when I was in high school. But I was not in a family that was really into gaming. For them, gaming is just a hobby. Quite a silly one, to be honest. So I'm not in a gamer family, and that's fine. Everyone has its own hobbies, etc. But gaming has always been much more than a hobby for me. It's a passion. It's what I'm living through. It's what I'm breathing. And I know it can sound very exaggerating, but gaming is part of my identity now, especially now that I'm working within it. But so I was in this in the scientific background, and the more I was into it, the less I was into it, because I understand something is that I was not good at science. I was not good at experimentation. I loved the theoretical aspects of science. I was in love during the courses, doing all the in the in the theater to hear the teachers talking about about HIV, about listeria. Well, everybody was it was related to microbes, immune system, etc. But when I was in a laboratory, it was rather catastrophic, I would say. And so I figured out that I need to find another way to get out of here. But in France, it's kind of complicated because once you're in the field, especially when you're still a student, it's very difficult to get out of that field through a professional way without doing another kind of studies before that. So especially when you just have a scientific background, well, companies are not very fond of just a science nerd rat laboratory when you want to go to more commercial positions such as marketing or communication. So the first step was to complete my master's degree to be sure that I have a sort of security, a solid background.
And so this is still your master's degree in science and biology, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
you completed that.
I completed that, okay. And it went well because I sucked at experimentations, but the major party of the the exams were theoretical, so I could manage to pass them. But after that, I've gone to a business school, which is ESCP, so École Supérieure de Commerce de Paris, if I'm not wrong. But it's they are across all Europe, so it's hard to consider it as a French business school, but it is a French business school. And so it was a marketing master of science, like we said in France. But it was still in the pharmaceutical industry because it was complicated to go from science to general business, In order to make my profile more appealing, I started to stay in the scientific field, but in a commercial point of view. So this was a first step. And after that, this is where it's going to be funny. I had my first ever job, which was I was a consultant in a consulting firm specialized again in pharmaceutical industry. So I worked, for example, for Sanofi, etc., within this consulting firm. I have lasted 6 months, if I'm not wrong, because what I saw was
is the life you realized. This life you didn't want. You could see the future.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I quite remember well. The time when I think I cannot do it. I cannot do it for my whole life. Yeah. I was in front of my computer, redoing for I think the six or well yeah I think the six times a PowerPoint, because my manager was never happy with it, etc. And I was in front of my screen and I was like, what am I doing? Is this going to be my life for the 30, 40, 50 years in the future? I couldn't accept that. It was impossible. So I break my contract. And for the record, it was quite a really well-paid job, especially in France. I know that I guess an American would say this is underpaid job. How could you accept that? But in France, salaries are lower, but for many reasons.
And then you entered into the very overpaid world of gaming. I don't think anybody says the video games industry pays well. So,
I knew that my salary would be very lower, and for another very good reason, because at this time I was in a permanent contract, but I break it to go. To do an internship at Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, the massive French-based games company.
Yeah, and Ubisoft was kind of a dream for me because it's the biggest French studios.
Yeah,
one of the biggest studios in the world when you think about it.
And you must have been a little bit older than most of the other interns there. Most people were coming in in their first degree, and you're
About 2 or 3 years older.
Okay, but that's not too bad.
It was not that bad because you know, in marketing, they only hired master's students, so people that have done also, you know, at least 5 years of studies. So yeah, I was not really and was not that older compared to the other one. So it was not especially a problem.
Hey listeners, a short interruption. When I'm not hosting the Community Lounge, I run Feature Upvote, a platform for managing player feedback. When you use Feature Upvote, your players can submit and upvote suggestions to improve your game in a single place. This gives you the data you need to develop a game that meets player expectations. And you can say goodbye to the confusion of trying to keep up with feedback scattered across discussions on Discord and Steam and Reddit. Learn more at featureupvote.com. So you're doing your internship at Ubisoft. That was you told me in advance it was the best 6 months of your life.
Yeah, clearly.
That's not exaggeration. It was really that good.
Yeah. And I think it's, I especially want to say it today when you see all that Ubi bashing on the internet, on the social media, that's kind of infuriating me because it's very unfair, very unfair. And yes, they have been some issues regarding, you know, internal bullying, harassment, etc. But, you know, Ubisoft is, I would say, a tentacular company. It's across, I don't know how many countries in the world. So there are more than 20,000 people within. So yeah, I think statistically speaking, yeah, you're going to meet some jerks. But in my case, in my team, it was the best people I've ever met. And you know, sometimes I have some doubts when I think about my choices. When I'm asking myself, was it a good thing to, you know, quit a really well-paid job and to go to the video game industry? Even if my first job wasn't interesting, etc. But when I think about that, I'm telling myself, well, if I have been staying in my first job, I would never have met the Ubisoft people. And well, I'm so grateful to have met them because, you know, they have been the first people to be able to give me confidence in myself, okay, in my work, in my choices. And so my manager at Ubisoft, which is Victor Drouin, was exceptional. So yeah, really no regret to have been working at Ubisoft because it was exceptional.
So from Ubisoft, you then went to Arte?
There is a several months gap between Ubisoft and Arte because, you know, Ubisoft has, well, still have financial issues, etc. It's kind of heartbreaking. But so in the end of my internship, I couldn't be kept within Ubisoft, and so I've spent several months looking for jobs, etc. I even went back to consulting because, well, I needed the money. But again, I lasted 1 month in a consulting firm, and well, I would say that was the final test for me because it was clear that consulting will never be good for me. And so several months after Ubisoft, I finally found, it was not me that found the offer because it was one of my ex-colleague at Ubisoft that showed me the a job offer at Arte to be a community manager on their games. It was a long journey to become first time a community manager, but I've done it.
I admire your bravery for realizing you were in the wrong career path. It's a very frightening thing to do, to quit a well-paid job that you've worked hard to get into and to admit to yourself. And often people around you don't understand why you're doing this, right?
Yeah, well, to be honest, first, thank you for the compliment because it's a kind of hard for me to hear that. But to be honest, there are two aspects that we have to take into account. The first one is that I am privileged because I live, you know, I have parents that could support me, support my, you know, career changes, etc. And I think if I had, you know, to pay for everything, well, I don't think I would have the luxury to change this path of career that you know, that early. But on the other side, yeah, it's true that it wasn't an easy exercise to figure out that I didn't want to do this my whole life, that I wanted to follow my heart in this case. I wanted to follow what was really animating me, which was here, the video game industry. And so, yeah, it was difficult to, like you said, to leave a really well-paid job a very uncertain past. Uncertain past, because I was not sure that I could have been, I was going to be happy at Ubisoft, because, well, you never know. You never know what people you're going to meet. You never know if you are beyond the patient, the gaming patient. Well, maybe I would have figured out that working into gaming wasn't just doing it for me. So it was uncertain, but to be honest, there were regrets.
Well, I'll tell you briefly why I can empathize with this story so much. Way back in the beginning of my career, I was working for a small IT consulting company.
Yeah.
And one day I was just working on something, and I just got overcome with this feeling, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I just stared into space, and my manager walked by and saw me and said, "Steve, is everything okay?" And these words, unplanned, came out of my mouth. I don't know where they came from. I just said to him, "If I was to resign, how much notice do I need to give you if I was to quit?" And he said, "Should we go and talk?" And I realized then how unhappy I was in that job and how I didn't want to do it. So I completely understand where you're coming from. Seeing yourself in a job that outside everybody thinks he's doing well, and inside feeling like this is not for me.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, it can be very, you know, kind of desperate situation. And it's paradoxical when you think about it, because you're in a job, you are paid for it, you are well paid even for it. And you cannot be happy if you're doing something that is just, you know, I think you know what I mean, if I'm terrible at explaining it. But if you don't have something that is interesting in what represents, I don't know, 80% of your day, well, how can you be happy? Well, I'm very, you know, I'm kind of admirative of people that are able to stay in a job that does not interest them. But I know that I can do it. I can't stay in a job that is boring, even if there is a lot of money in the end.
Moving on, I want to ask you about your experiences as a community manager. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you have a story or a challenge you can share about something you faced as a community manager that really stands out in your memory.
Yeah, well, I've kind of talked about it at the beginning of our talk. You know, when you're talking about sexual assault in a game, especially when you talk about incest, well, it's a taboo subject. Many people do not react well when you're speaking about incest, and especially when you're doing this within a game, because, well, let's be honest, some people could have been shocked that we're going to play with such a subject, with a rape victims, with a sexual assault victim, etc. But for one part, the game has been so well made by its creators, which are the Pixel Hunt and Pierre Corbinet, who had also been doing Haven or The Wreck or Bury Me My Love. So very author-driven games, and so they are used to talk about a difficult subject, and so they have been doing it so well that you cannot feel offended by the way the game is dealing with the subject. And so, but you know, there is never a 0% risk when you're talking about such a difficult subject. So, well, we were backing up against potential, backfire on it. But in the end, well, everyone was really kind with Wednesdays. Everyone were so happy to see that gaming can talk about, difficult subject as well. Well, I did not need to have a proof about that because games can talk about everything, basically. But sexual assault is not a very usual subject within the gaming industry. I was so happy to see that people were giving Wednesdays a chance, were giving Wednesdays a lot of compliments. We have very positive reviews on Steam, positive reviews in the press. And I'm talking about generalists, but also, of course, specialized gaming press. But even in general journals, Wednesdays have been talked about. And, I felt very happy for the games, for the creators, for the victims. And also, kind of proud to have been part of such a project because, I've never seen a project of sexual assault, especially incest, elsewhere. And, working on it was an incredible experience.
That's a big change from having to do the sixth revision of a PowerPoint document, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I've told myself this is why I've changed my career. I wanted to work on projects that were really moving for me, and Wednesday was.
I think in the wider society outside of the gaming, the games world, games are seen as frivolous. I think you used the word earlier. They're seen as you're going around killing monsters or shooting aliens or, matching three things of the same color or whatever. And it's really good for the wider community to see that games can actually be touching on such topics and have a story to tell. And there's a lot of games that have, especially short games, that have a really important story they tell. But it's not often they get heard of in the wider community.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you think about it, independent games are so talented to tell stories that are going to move you way more than blockbuster games or blockbuster movies. Yeah. Wednesdays is an example I've been working on, but when I think about Gris, for example, which was, I think, one of the most beautiful game I ever played. It's a game from Nomada Studio. I think it's a Spanish one, if I'm correct. And it's incredible. It's the same studio that recently released Neva. It was the last year, I think. There are so many games that can tell heartbreaking but also very beautiful stories. The most recent one I played would be Clair Obscur, about speaking about stories, etc.
So we're getting short of time. Let's see this one. What question do we have time to fit in? Yeah, how do you learn to do your job as a community manager better? What are the resources you've learned to tap into?
Well, I would say speaking with other community managers. I have some friends that are community managers in the gaming industry, and they've been so good to me, so kind to you, and they have given me many advices. I think one good option is also to see what are the other doing. How are they talking about a game? What were their original ideas, their funny memes, the GIFs, their videos, etc., etc.? I think being a community manager is also accepting that the ideas can not only come from you, but also from the industry, from your peers. And I think it's, it's an exercise of humility. You have to understand that you are not the best, and there are also so many talented people around you. And I think it's what's the most beautiful things in the job of community manager is that everybody is so talented. There are so many good ideas, and so
And passionate, right?
Yeah, and passion, of course. And so
if we go back a little bit, you said that you talk to other community managers. Mm. So these are in other studios and publishers, so I guess you meant. Do you meet with them in person or do you meet with them on an online situation?
Mainly online. One of my closest friends is, well, I know it's in real life. He's working at Ishtar Games, which is a French studio / publishers in Lille. So I've met him, but you know, I'm still at the very beginning of my career as community manager. So the other one would be especially online. Yeah,
like you have a Discord or a forum,
Yeah. There is a special French marketing and community manager Discord. So it's very useful to grab some advices, to share also some victories. Well, when I released my first game, which was not Wednesday, it was 30 Birds. But when I released it for the first time, it was the first game with my name, you know, in the credits at the end. Well, it was kind of wonderful.
A friend of mine who runs a small business similar to my own says, you've got to celebrate everything. Celebrate every achievement, you know, and it's great to have a place where you can share it privately with some people to do that.
Exactly.
So you learn to do your job better by, you said, by talking with other community managers, looking at what other people are doing. Anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so. Yeah. To me, yes. Another thing, the GDC talk, the Game Developer Conference talks, it can be very, it's a treasure. You have a lot of free videos on YouTube. You have a whole playlist by the GDC account. And honestly, if you are looking for inspiration, new ideas, or just a fresh views on something, or study cases on, for example, Among Us with Victoria Chan. I know you've interviewed her recently. Well, it's incredible to have such resources online and totally free.
Great. So I'm here in Barcelona, Spain, and I haven't yet been to GDC. A mentor tells me I really have to get there because it's where business happens in the games industry. But the jet lag going from Barcelona to West Coast USA. So I try to stay to local events, but I'm going to have to go and look up the GDC talks because I don't think I've actually watched any of them. I'm going to see what I can find. So thank you for that very, very useful advice. We've completely run out of time, but I do have one very important question to ask you. I think you kind of gave us a clue already. What game have you been playing lately?
Clair Obscur Expedition 33. I'd say it's a French way because it's a French game. So yeah,
Clair Obscur. I think the French media are very, very proud of this game. Right.
Well, they can be. Because...
Tell me about it. I know nothing about it. I'm so busy at the moment. And when I interviewed Victoria Tran and I asked her what she's playing, she told me Blue Prince. And I wish I hadn't asked her that because I went and bought it and now I'm addicted to this game and I have no time for other games. But tell me about Clair Obscur. Tell me about it.
Well, Clair Obscur is an RPG which is mixing turn-based combat, but also real-time combat. So the combat system is excellent. It's very good. But what I love the most is this universe. You know, the idea of Clair Obscur is that you're in a world, well, it's a kind of a post-apocalyptic version of Paris, which is called Lumière, because, you know, Paris is la vie lumière, the city of light, etc. So you can say the oui baguette vibe in here. But the idea is that you have a Lumière, which is kind of broken. And in the landscape, you can see the monolith, which is a huge stone with a number painted on it. And each year, a creature called the Paintress is risen from a deep sleep, and she is painting a new number of the monolith. And each time she is painting a number, each people whose age is corresponding to this number dies during what they call the gommage, which is, well, kind of a disappearance, very artistic disappearance, in fact, but it's still, well, a death. And the problem is the number is going down every year. So, and the complete title of the game, Clair Obscur Expedition 33, it's because you are in the year that there is a 33 painting of the monolith.
Okay, sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Look, it's all we've got time for today, so we need to finish up. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Steve. It was so great.
And where can people get in touch or find out more about you?
Mainly on LinkedIn, because, you know, I I'm creating some content on TikTok, but it's only in French. I'm not confident enough in my English accent to start English content, but maybe it will come in the next future.
Okay, but we have a lot of listeners who are in Europe, so, and who can probably speak French, so, or at least would like to hear it out. So I'll get that link from you from the TikTok account. Yeah. We'll put in the show notes too. Okay, bye Henry. Bye everyone.
Bye Steve. Bye everyone.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Community Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode, please spread the word and share it with friends and colleagues who you think would also enjoy it. You can find all the episodes on your favorite podcasting platform or at featureupvote.com/thecommunitylounge.